Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's always good to be with you on your Sunday morning, even though it is especially a hot one out there today. Without a doubt, we are seeing full-fledged summer, but it's Iowa, and it's going to do what it's going to do. But aren't we thankful this week for the rain that came? Man, what a blessing. I just want to give a big shout out to the Lord. Thank you for sending the rain. Much needed, much timely. And the Lord, you are the giver and the taker. And we just appreciate all that you do. It's always in your will and it's always in your time. But we want to be gracious and we want to thank you for that rain. But maybe today you're traveling down the highway. You've turned it on to KBOE 104.9. We're glad to have you with us this morning as you're traveling down the highway today. Just make sure you're safe out there. And as you get out and move around, make sure you get plenty of water and keep hydrated out there. And just enjoy your travels this morning. Also, to those of you who are headed on your way to church this morning, just want to thank you for being part of Vital Ministries this morning. I know many people will say, Mike, we sit out in our vehicle just before it's either church or Sunday school, then just wanted to hear what you have to say. And I just want to thank you so much for your diligence and also to your encouraging words. I get people that follow up with me about that and share that with me. And I just, I'm going to thank you so much for being with us this morning. And those two that are at home today and listening. And this Vital Ministries is part of your Sunday morning routine. We just want to thank you so much for being with us this morning. And just make sure today as you're out and you're moving around, make sure you drink water, 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 as it is going to be a scorcher. It's interesting, in our house with the heat, not does this happen very often, but our air conditioner went out and we've been without air conditioning, and it has been hot to say at best. And at night, it brings back memories when I was a young boy with my parents, and my mom would share with me that sometimes it got so hot that's when we lived in Des Moines at the time. My dad was a builder up there, and she said we would go to the mall just to get away and get out of the heat to get some air conditioning. And I was thinking about that this past week, and obviously where we live out in our neck of the woods, there's no mall to go to, but man, oh man, is it tempting to drive to Des Moines just to get out of the heat. But we're gracious and we're thankful, and we know it's going to get fixed, and we'll keep moving from there. Just a few things to be paying attention to as we go. We have our Vital Ministries has our weekly and daily devotionals. You don't want to miss out on those. Those can be sent to you by email. All you got to do is go up and sign up on Vital Ministries webpage and check that out. And we would love to get you hooked up to get those. We got both Vital Life and Vital Men, so both of those are extremely good. But with that being said, for the next few weeks, we will be looking at the life of the prophet Elisha, the student who followed his teacher Elijah. Both of these men had audacious faith, but Elisha wanted a double portion of the ministry that Elijah did. That's amazing. Think about this. Elijah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, as we read in 1 Kings, and he did some amazing things in his ministry, from praying for rain to stop. Rain came. He also, too, outran a one-horse carriage that was going at the time. It was just some things he did was amazing. Also, too, he calls down the thunder from the sky and with the prophets of Baal, and just some amazing things that Elijah did and what Elisha was going to experience under the ministry of Elijah. But we're going to jump into that a little bit more this morning. But first, let's get a little background of what audacious faith is. You're going to hear that oftentimes, because that's what our teaching is about, is audacious faith. It is the faith that is actually tenacious and pretentious faith that refuses to give up, will never take no for an answer. It's radical faith believing in what God could be with what you could be with God and showing you the ways of faith. I like this verse that goes along with audacious faith. It comes out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says this: "These have come so that the person genuine of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." That's having audacious faith and believing in what Jesus Christ is and who he is as our Savior. You know, today we live in a time and we need believers in Christ to have the boldness and the daring of their faith to believe that the Holy Spirit can empower them to do more than they could ever imagine. Isn't that amazing when you think about that this morning, about an audacious faith as doing more, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower you in such a way that you can do more than you've ever imagined. And we're going to talk about those and give you examples. Another one, this is about faith, comes out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says this, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." I've been very fortunate in my life to be surrounded by men of great faith. And I'm just going to name a few this morning. Like, for instance, Rex McFall, what a great man of faith. I'm honored to call him friend. He's been a friend to me since I actually was a young boy, and I've seen great faith in Rex. Another one is Steve Langrud. What a great man of faith that Steve is. Great wisdom. He speaks into my life. I appreciate him. He's been part of Vital Ministries for quite some time. I just appreciate this man. Also, too, my father, Phil Sarig. My dad has been a man of great faith. I've seen some incredible things that God has worked in his own life. And also, too, he speaks that into my life as well. These men live it. They live what it means to have audacious faith. You've heard me share about 2 years ago, and my wife and I, we bought a small farm, and we have a couple of horses and Highland cattle and cross mix Angus cattle and now chickens on top of it. We just added those this week. But my wife is giving every one of these animals, including our two dogs and two kitties, names. Everyone has a name, but many people will say we were crazy, but it took us to do Sharon, Iowa, and had and even opened up an opportunity of a part-time job for me as pastor of Lighthouse Church. I'm thankful for that. It took us some faith, audacious faith, to do what we had, because I tell you what, folks, we were sitting living in Harvest Point Golf Course, beautiful place, built our home there, and we lived, had wonderful neighbors, and just everything was really going really well. But I felt challenged. I felt I'd take one last chapter, one next point of audacious faith to do something different than the and just being ordinary and existing. And man, the Lord has done some incredible things. It's having faith to believe what couldn't be, as I shared of you. I was 60 years old, allowing the Holy Spirit to move me, you know, back in ministry. I would have never told you that would have happened. But to be honest, folks, my ministry days in my mind were over. I realized that being an associate pastor for me just wasn't a right fit, wasn't part of my skill set, wasn't part of the design that I believe that God had in my mind. And I have to be honest with you this morning, too. I'm thankful for men like Pastor Steve Harima of the Church of the Way, and also, too, Pastor John Nelson right here in Oskaloosa Central. They both gave me a shot at it. They both gave me an opportunity to step into ministry. Pastor Steve, part-time ministry. Pastor John, full-time ministry. But it just wasn't the right fit. It wasn't anything against those men by any means. It was a place where the Holy Spirit was working with me. Also, too, bringing fire and things and helping me see something greater. But see, I love and enjoy serving the people of our church. Only faith and trust in Jesus opens doors of opportunity in your life in which you can live out audacious faith. And you're going to hear me say that several different times, but it's important for us to realize that that's what God is wanting to do, some of those things in our lives. One of the things I've learned in this life, that God uses ordinary people to do audacious acts of faith. Now, Elisha was just an ordinary man. It appears to be a farmer's son who was seemingly had a successful farming business. When Elijah goes to find Elisha, He's out plowing the field. Matter of fact, he has 12 oxen in the field, it says in the Bible, and that would be some hard farming back in the day, but pushing a plow behind an oxen. Hey, aren't you glad we don't live in those days? But now, not like my good friend Steve Van Utrecht. I love him and his sons, and they're, man, they're John Deere people. They're, everything's good, and John Deere tractors you'll find on their farm. Everything is green, and Steve's on his farm, and matter of fact, he shared with me even the pliers that he carries their John Deere pliers. Nothing like a John Deere plier. I chuckle at that. But they have sons, and they have the latest equipment with the greatest GPS steering. I saw my brother Steve take time as I was with him in a harvester, take his hands off the wheel, and it kept driving itself. My friend Steve doesn't have any oxen on his farm, but he's a big time, what I would call pig kicker. And what I mean by that, they raise pigs from start to finish of their hog confinements. But Steve is also just an ordinary farmer with audacious faith. And I just appreciate him and his family so much and what he has taught and shared with me in his life, especially the time of his, I love hearing the stories about his dad who was came from Holland, but also too was in the concentration camps as a worker, and just some amazing things of audacious faith that his father and also too his mother had to go through, which spilled out on their three sons. I find it interesting that God himself who tells Elijah to go out and to seek Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. He said, God tells him, then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel, and then anoint Elisha, son of Japheth, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Elisha had no idea that God was working something behind the scenes in his life, but God was going to do something great in his life, even though it seemed ordinary for him at the time. Don't you think that just sounds amazing? But God works that way. We find Elisha living out an ordinary life, working for his parents and doing the farming operation. But what we see, and it wasn't written in Elisha's in his life, but his diligence. He was faithful to small things, and God was going to use his life in a big way. But it was going to take audacious faith to do that. And I want to show you that this morning. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 19 through 21. And I want to share the beginnings of Elisha, of having audacious faith to follow the prophet Elijah to do something that was more than him. And I think it would take something to do that. But let's read what it says in the Bible, starting with verse 19. It says this. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Japheth, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him. He was with the 12th. And then Elijah passed by and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will go and follow you. And this is what happens. He said to him, you go back again for what I have done for you with the question mark? So Elisha turned back from him, took up the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, boiled their flesh using the oxen equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Man, that without a doubt, folks, just reading that portion in the Bible helps you to understand what it means to have audacious first faith. But the first to do audacious faith is to have audacious commitment. We live in a culture and time in which people don't have a lot of commitment. Man, you can see it. We reek with it in the midst of our culture of no commitment. We have no commitment to marriages anymore, no commitment to family, no commitment to the places that we work. And even more so, we have no commitment, and we wonder why people are leaving their faith because they have no longer have commitment to the Lord or commitment to the church. It is without a doubt an uncommitted generation time in which we live. My daughter, she works a lot with 20 years olds out in Colorado Springs, and she has a coffee shop out there. And she tells me that some of her staff will call in and tell her that they can't work today because they need a mental health day. I said, really? What is a mental health day? And she shared with me that it happens quite often that people will call her, that people have worked, because they need a mental health day. They need a day to recuperate from whatever things that was going on. But I think of this. I wonder how it would have been for Elijah if Elisha would have said, before I go to follow you at this day of plowing, I need to take a mental health day before I follow you, which absolutely is not true that we read in the Bible. But it's interesting to see how that all plays out, which brings us to our first point this morning. You don't have to understand fully to obey commitment. And I want to show you about that this morning. I want to go back and read this again. It says, you don't have to understand fully the commitment your faith. That's our first point. That comes out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20, and it says this. It says that Elisha, when he was going to him, so he tells him this. He goes, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again for what I have done for you." See, he was really questioning in the midst of the commitment of Elisha, but I don't think Elisha fully understand the commitment that Elijah was asking. He comes upon him. Can you imagine? Here he is out in the field. He's got 12 oxen in front of him. They're pushing the field. They're doing the things that he's called to do. He's out working the land. And Elijah shows up. And Elijah, it says in the Bible that he came upon him and he threw on his mantle on him, which was his coat. And it was a way of showing back then in time that throwing on your mantle was a way in which you were going to follow the person who was asking you to follow them. It's basically, Elijah was preparing Elisha to pass the baton. He was going to be the next prophet of Israel. But Elisha, he was struggling. He didn't fully understand the commitment of what was going on. And he was really questioning, "Why do you ask me, Elijah? Why shouldn't I go back and see my parents?" And it was a question, go back again. Because Elijah knew this. Elijah knew that if Elisha went back and said goodbye to his parents, that he would question his commitment and also to the place in his life of his ministry. And that's important for us to realize today, that we have to have that kind of commitment in the midst of our life to go back and look at what God is doing and the things that he is doing in the midst of our lives. And we just have to trust him and all that. And I think that's what's so important for us to realize today, is that God is wanting to use and do some amazing things in our lives, but it just takes us to get to a place that we have to trust him in everything that we're doing. That just makes it really, really important for us today, as we understand Elisha and him going out and doing what God has called him to do. But I just think it's really important for us to realize that, you know, in the midst of his life, Elisha had some real questions, and he was just trying to figure out what he was called to do and what he was to do in his own life. And God was just going to show him an amazing way about faith, of what it took to have audacious faith and to go about in the midst of his life. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think we got to realize that that's just part of life itself. But I just encourage you this morning, you might be asking yourself, so what does all that mean for me? What does it mean for me to have that kind of faith? And I don't see Elisha weighing out any of the pros and the cons about whether he should do it. Oftentimes, there's a five-year, people will say, "Well, what's your next five-year plan?" Well, in all honesty, he didn't have one. Elisha couldn't see that far. He didn't have enough detail. And that's, he didn't, but even though he didn't understand, he needed to obey in the moment immediately. And that's really important for us. So God's directions are sometimes often vague when they share us to God. Think of Abraham. Think about this in the Bible. God tells Abraham to go out and go to the promised land, which is Canaan. But at the time when Abraham left, he didn't know. He had no clue. And also too, Peter, he comes onto the water, and Jesus is calling him out to come. He sees Jesus walking, and he calls out to the Lord, "Hey, can I come out?" And Jesus says, "Come." And he gets out of the boat, and it says he actually walks a few steps. And I think that's important for us. Even though he sank, he had audacious faith. He trusted God. But that's just something about our lives. Which brings us to point number two this morning. Those God uses the most are the ones who hold on the least. And I want to show you something. It says this at 1 Kings chapter 19, 21. "So Elisha left him and went back. He took the yokes of the oxen and slaughtered them, and he burned the plow and all the equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elisha and became his servant." Now, this is something interesting. Elisha knew in order to follow the Lord, he had to burn the plow. He could not, He could not go back. So what does he do? He goes and he takes the 12 oxen. He slaughters them. And with the wood that came from the plow, he creates fire and a place. And then there's people around. And what does he do? He goes out and has a party before he leaves. He asks other people. But see, this is what happened. So God was calling Elisha to be the next prophet to follow Elijah. But what's interesting is that God uses the ones that have the most and uses them greatly. And those who hold on the most as to the ones who hold on the least. And that's just something that I think about in my own life. What is it that God is asking me for audacious faith? What are the things that takes audacious faith? I think about this. The disciples left everything to follow Jesus. They left everything. They left their jobs. They put down their nets. The other seven of them, we know for a fact, were fishermen. They dropped everything. And I think that's important for us to realize that. And also, too, I think about Job. Job lost everything. Job in his life and what happened because the enemy came to God and asked for Job. But God said you could only go this far. So he took everything away from Job. Yet Job did not lose out on his faith. And I think about this morning. To have audacious faith, sometimes in your life, you have to burn the plow. And one thing I'll never forget this is I was way back when I was younger. And I was just turning into, my age was around 40, and I had an incredible successful career at the time would have been Mike Sarig Builders. And I felt the Lord, the Holy Spirit moving me to move to Colorado. Matter of fact, I had a job and everything at Estes Park, Colorado. Some amazing things that happened prior to that. We had our house, had just built it. And we had been there for 3 months. I had one of the local men in our community came up to me and out of the blue just said, "Mike, we want to buy your house. We don't want to go through the building. Would you consider selling your home?" And I said, "Yes." What's opened the door for us to step out and go to Estes Park, Colorado. And I went there, and I'll never forget. I had different people come up to me and question why I was leaving. Why would you leave such a successful business, things that were going on in the midst of your life? Why would you leave this and go to Estes Park, Colorado? And the thing that I think that was draining in my life, my career things, it was good, but at the same time, it was extremely draining. It was draining on my first marriage, draining on my relationship with my kids. And the Holy Spirit allowed and spoke to me and allowed for the opportunity to go to Estes Park, Colorado. Now, without a doubt, there were struggles, and I'm not going to get into that this morning. But the thing that it took for me was to burn the plow. I had to burn the plow, so I sold everything that I had in order to move. I had a lift, I had a skid loader, trailers, all these things. I had all these things, our home and everything. I sold it and moved to Estes Park, Colorado, because I believed that the Lord was leading us there for our family. And, you know, sometimes what I learned in that process was I believe I was just simply obedient to what the Lord asked of me and what to do, to go and to make such a move, to go and leave and to step out by faith, to go to the unknown. I had been born and raised in Oskaloosa, Iowa. I lived here with the exception of my first 7 years in Des Moines, Iowa with my parents, but we came home every weekend to Oskaloosa because both my parents' folks lived in Oskaloosa. Both were my grandpa Sarig, he was a dozer operator, had a small farm south of Beacon, and then my grandpa Voss and his wife Ruth, they had a 110 acre farm just north of Beacon, and we came back every weekend. And what I learned in that process was it took audacious faith for the obedience, and I have no regret. even though there was struggles in the midst of it. And maybe this morning, God is challenging you about something in your life to have audacious faith. What is something that God is wanting you to let go of so that he can use you in such a way for something more? What if there was more that God is wanting you to do? Wanting you to, again, those God uses the most are the ones who hold on to things the least. We, without a doubt, live in a culture today that materialism is rampant, and it's in everything that we look at. But what is it that God is asking you to change? Where do you need to burn the plow in your life to step out on faith and do some incredible things that God is calling you to do? What would that look like for you today? I believe that there's somebody this morning that's listening to me that God is wanting them to do. The Holy Spirit is speaking and wanting them to step out and do something audacious faith in their life. Are you willing to burn the plow? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the opportunity of looking into the life of Elisha. A man who was had a very successful farming business with his parents, had some incredible things in his future, living just an ordinary life, being obedient to you, but you called him out to do something of audacious faith. Something that was going to change his life forever. And Lord, I pray that maybe there's somebody out there this morning that needs to burn the plow, something in their life that you're calling them to do. I just pray this morning, Lord, that they would have audacious faith and be willing to step out by faith and take the risk. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, and we praise your name. Amen. Folks, again, audacious faith takes audacious commitment. Is that what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning? I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.